Become a Leslie's Pro member, and with almost 1,000 locations conveniently located less than 3 miles from your service route, you can quickly get in and out and take care of your customers. Get Skimmer, America's number one pool service software platform. Listeners of the podcast can try Skimmer for free. Visit my website, swimmingpoollearning.com, and click on the Leslie's Pro and the Skimmer banners to learn more. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. Hi, and welcome to the Pool Guy Podcast Show. In this episode, I'm going to be joined by Terry Arco of HASA. We're going to discuss liquid chlorine in great detail here, so stay tuned for a great discussion about every aspect of liquid chlorine. Leslie's Pool Supplies is a proud partner of the Pool Guy Podcast Show. Leslie's Pool Supplies has been do-it-yourselfers and pool trade professionals' trusted partner since 1963, providing quality products and services to make pool care easy and solutions and expertise to do it right. So I'm joined today by Terry Arco of HASA. How are you doing today, Terry?
I'm doing well, David. How are you?
Good. Let me give the listeners your bio right here so they know that I'm talking to an expert here as far as liquid chlorine goes, or in fact, all chemicals probably. Terry Arco has 40 years of experience in recreational water industry, working in the service, repair, and retail sales, chemical manufacturing, technical service, commercial sales, and product development. He has written over 100 published articles on water chemistry and has been an instructor of technical courses for over 25 years. Terry is a voting member of the Board of Recreational Water Quality Committee, RWQC, and serves as a board member of the California Pool and Spa Association, CPSA. He is also a certified pool operator instructor with the Pool and Hot Tub Alliance, PHTA, or I guess they pronounce it FATA. Terry is currently working as technical content and product training manager for HASA Pools, makers of HASA Santa Clara. He can be reached at Terry Arco, that's A-R-K-O, at HASAPool.com. And I'll give that email again at the end of the podcast. That was great. Like a whole paragraph about you there. That's an impressive bio.
I'm just a glorified pool man. I started out doing pools in Southern California in 1979. So that's what got me going. And here
great.
I am.
That's a long time ago. I mean,
yes. Yeah. Longer than a lot of people have been alive. So,
yeah, I think those are the days with the gigantic rectangle skimmers and the DE separation tanks.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of the pools I serviced when I started out, you could imagine, were actually built in the 1950s.
Oh, wow.
So they were the basically nice long square boxes, you know, corners, not rounded, not kidney shaped, pretty big. And equipment was pretty ancient, and it was usually located about a block away from the swimming pool amidst all the bushes. So
it probably was brass pumps and copper piping,
yes,
right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That's interesting. I think I just replaced one of my last brass pumps on my route. So it's been a while since I see those around, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So I worked with a lot of dinosaurs.
I bet. So let's just jump into the questions here.
Sure.
And we're going to talk mainly about liquid chlorine here. And I think the listeners will appreciate your insight on liquid chlorine. I talk a lot about it myself in the podcast and on my YouTube channel. But coming from an expert, I think this will be really good for the listeners. So let me start with the first question.
Sure.
What are some of the reasons, in your opinion, why liquid chlorine is the best sanitizer for your swimming pool?
Yeah, and obviously good question. And, you know, when I address this question in the pool industry, there's a lot of, I think, different misunderstandings and things like that regarding the different types of chlorine. And so I like to kind of say that, number one, when I make this comment, the first comment I make, which is, in my opinion, and in a lot of people's opinion, liquid chlorine is actually more affordable. Now, I realize that a lot of people will say, well, you know, a gallon of liquids maybe, you know, 50 cents or this much more than what I could get a pound of trichlor for or something. Whatever the numbers may be. And it varies depending on where you are in the country too. But the reason I say that, and the other comment that I get a lot of times is people will say, well, hey, I look at my bottle of liquid chlorine, or I look on a sheet, it says 12% or 12.5% available chlorine. And then I look at my trichlor and it says, 98 or maybe 89 to 98, 99% available chlorine. And so that's kind of a technical area to get into. But basically what we're looking at is you're comparing liquid to dry, and anything with chlorine is based on the free available chlorine residual that's going to be created in the water from that material. And it's a weight-to-weight comparison based on the way that they calculated this or came up with this. It's based on gas chlorine. It's based on per pound of gas chlorine, the weight-to-weight comparison. So just as an example, if you were going to try to get, let's say, 12 parts per million of free available chlorine in a 10,000-gallon pool, it would take you less than a gallon. About 0.95 of a gallon of liquid is going to get you that 12 ppm in 10,000 gallons. However, if you were going to try and get 12 ppm of free available chlorine in that 10,000-gallon pool using trichlor, it would actually take more than a pound. It would take almost a pound and a half to get that same amount. If you were going to look at, let's take a look at Cal Hypo, 65% or so Cal Hypo, it's going to take actually almost 2 pounds of Cal Hypo to get that same 12 ppm in 10,000 gallons. So this is something I think people look at the numbers, but they don't really understand what the numbers represent. And they don't really understand that you're dealing with the difference between a liquid and a solid. And certainly in the case of liquid chlorine, you've got something that doesn't have to dissolve. It's already readily available, and it isn't putting as much solid into the pool as some of the others. So definitely, I think it's a better way to go as far as affordability overall. And we'll get into this more even as we go along, I'm sure. Obviously, liquid chlorine is really easy to use. I mean, you just pour it in, pretty simple. No mixing, no anything like that. And also, I do like to point out, because it's a liquid, it's immediate. It's an immediate, it's going to get in there immediately and start to work with oxidizing, sanitizing, and creating that measurable residual free chlorine that you need in the water. We'll get into this a little more about the byproducts, but certainly liquid chlorine, which actually, liquid chlorine is kind of a misnomer to call it that. We've called it that in the pool industry, but it's somewhat incorrect, because really what it is, it's not really liquid chlorine. It's liquid sodium hypochlorite. So it's a compound of liquid chlorine. So there is liquid chlorine in the ingredient, but there also is sodium hydroxide and other inert ingredients and water. It's a whole mix of compounds together. And actually, more correctly, David, it would be referred to as bleach. Okay. Because it is the same formulation in a higher concentration as the bleach, or a regular household bleach that you would buy at the market and use in your washing machine. So it is going to leave salt, and we'll talk more about that. That's actually one of the benefits, especially if you have a salt chlorine generator. In comparison, I guess, to the other forms of chlorine, is you're actually leaving sodium chloride behind in the pool, which in the case of a chlorine salt generator can be a good backup, particularly if you have splash out, or drain and dilute, things like that, where you're lowering salt. You're actually, with liquid, you could be putting salt back into the system, which is going to help. Easy to store. There's no real storage issues as far as, liquid chlorine's non-flammable. It's non-combustible. So you don't have to worry about, if it gets too hot somewhere, or if, something mixes with it or whatever, it's going to spontaneously combust or cause a fire. That's not the case with calcium hypochlorite. Calcium hypochlorite is a class 3 oxidizer. It's very reactive to organics and things like that. So you spill some Cal Hypo in your garage or something, if you don't dispose of that correctly, you can start a fire. But you know, the worst thing you're going to get from a liquid chlorine spill, if you spilled a little or whatever, is you probably would bleach your garage floor. Mm-hmm. But that would be the worst. You're not going to get a fire. You're not going to get an explosion, anything like that. And I think that's another thing about the byproducts with liquid chlorine. You're not putting any cyanuric, additional cyanuric acid, CYA, into the pool by using liquid as a sanitizer. You're also not adding calcium to the pool at all by using liquid. And I think just to sort of wrap this up, particularly in your area, you're down in Ontario and in Southern California, the liquid chlorine, particularly the HASA, the Santa Clara version, the white bottles in the yellow container, that system of delivering liquid into pools has been going on since 1964 for over 50 years. It's been used and proven in pools. In fact, when we talked about me starting out doing pools, that was pretty much what I did. I used liquid and I used muriatic acid. And, you know, tablets hadn't really come on in a huge way at the time I started doing pools, although some people did use them. But, you know, primarily in my weekly pools, I treated with liquid and used a little bit of acid to offset things, and it was pretty good, worked pretty well. So it's been around a long time, and it's been proven for a long time.
Yeah, I can always tell the guys that are liquid chlorine guys because their shirts are all bleached out, they have holes in them. Yeah.
Well, we'll talk about the way to pour it into the pool so that doesn't happen.
That's a good idea. Good idea. Yeah. And you talked a little bit about how the next question was how it compares to shock and tablets and things like that. But you mentioned the strength of it compared to a bag of shock and things like that. You mentioned that it's pretty much inert also as far as any kind of reaction to things. And you mentioned Cal-Hypo does have that combustible element in it. So yes. As for someone using liquid chlorine, it's probably, like you said, the safest chlorine product on the market, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, going into shock, you know, you could look at shock and, we know we've got the 1 pound bags and things like that are sold. And, a lot of times those are, we could get them maybe at the clearance counter or something like that. And it seems relatively cheap, you know, but again, you've got to consider. So if you're, let's say you're putting a 1 pound bag of, it's a trichlor shock. Trichlor shock. It's a 1 pound bag. You know, maybe it seems a little cheaper than putting a gallon of liquid chlorine in, right straight away. But, you got to think about this too. You got to think about the fact that probably that 1 pound bag of trichlor is also introducing in a 10,000 gallon pool, probably about 6 parts per million of cyanuric acid. So you're increasing your cyanuric acid when you shock with that. That's going to lead down the road to, obviously you're going to have to deal with it, high levels of cyanuric acid somewhere. So that's going to be an added expense right there. The other thing too is that some of these shocks are buffered. Some of them aren't, you know, you don't really know that. So but trichlor definitely is acidic. It has a low pH of about 3. And so if you're using trichlor quite a bit or using trichlor shocks, that's going to affect your pH and your alkalinity by lowering them. And so you're going to have to adjust that up. You're going to have to use some soda ash, something like that. And that's a little more product and a little more time and labor. So you always got to compare, I think, apples to apples when you're making shock. But liquid chlorine, you can shock. No worries about raising calcium, raising cyanuric acid, anything down the road. No detrimental byproducts. And again, I think really probably the number one and most ideal shock that you could use in a salt chlorine generator system for sure.
Yeah, and so we'll touch on this too. You mentioned that it doesn't affect a lot of the water chemistry. And the school of thought was that liquid chlorine would raise the pH in a pool. And I know recently there's been some change in that thinking. You want to go over that with us?
Sure. That was the thinking for a long time. And even, you know, when I serviced swimming pools and used liquid, it was always the belief was, you go to a basic water chemistry class, any basic water chemistry class, if they're going through the different types of chlorine, and even in the CPO class, you go through the different types of chlorine. and you're going to see that the pH of liquid chlorine is 13. And in a lot of the classes or courses or in informational pieces you can go through, they may have comparison charts, and they'll even show you where they'll say trichlor has a pH of 3, so it's going to lower the pH. Then they'll say liquid chlorine, pH of 13, raises the pH. And so that's always been around for a long time. And actually, chemically speaking, you have a high pH material you're putting into the pool. There's a good chance it's going to cause the pH to start to raise somewhat. But that's an equilibrium, actually, to the amount of water and so forth that you have in the pool. But overall, yeah, liquid has a pH of 13, and so you could assume or think, you know, that's going to raise your pH, and you would be assuming right in most cases. However, Bob Lowry, who's a pool industry expert, good friend of mine, and I know a lot of people know him. He's actually written a lot of the IPSA water chemistry manuals, and he's a man who's developed a lot of the pool products that we use in pools today. And he's a very brilliant chemist. So Bob Lowry actually did some research and basically found out that when you add liquid chlorine to pools, basically what's causing the pH to rise from liquid chlorine is the fact that it has sodium hydroxide in it. So sodium hydroxide is a base product. It's a high pH product, and so that's being introduced into the water as you're adding the liquid chlorine. Now, like all types of chlorine, and this gets a little technical here, but I think a lot of us, especially pool pros, will know this. If you've gone to chemistry classes, you learn that when you add chlorine to swimming pool water, you're immediately creating a killing agent, and that killing agent is what we call hypochlorous acid, or HOCl. So that's immediately being created, and the amount of that HOCl that's being created, again, is based on where we keep the pH and the water balance. But at a 7.5 pH in a pool, you're going to have about 50% of hypochlorous acid, the killing agent, being produced. Now, as that's being produced and that reacts, that immediately begins to react with contaminants to break down and reduce and remove, germs and pathogenic bacteria, viruses, things like that. So as that reaction is taking place, and also if it's an outdoor pool, as the hypochlorous acid is reacted from the sunlight, from UV, from the sunlight, and as it begins to break down, it leaves behind, the hypochlorous acid actually converts and leaves behind hydrochloric acid, which is HCl. So that's an acid. And what in Bob's research, what he found out was the hydrochloric acid, or the HCl, that is left from the hypochlorous acid reaction is actually in equilibrium to the sodium hydroxide, and it actually offsets that raise in pH. So that's a pretty high technical thing. Bob's got a book, Pool Chemistry for Residential Pools. He teaches that in a class that he does, pool chemistry for certified residential service techs. It explains all that in the book. Mm-hmm. And it does get a bit complicated, but basically, just to put it into simple terms, you are going to get an immediate raise of pH. It won't be tremendous, but you will see some raise in pH from adding liquid. But within hours or over time, as that HOCl reacts, the pH will actually, there'll be an equilibrium, and it will stabilize mm-hmm. Over time. So I would say for pool techs, you might want to check, you might want to experiment a bit with your pools before adding acid and kind of see how that goes. And I think what you'll find is you're not having to use as much muriatic acid as you thought.
That's interesting. So the way you explained it, I think it's fairly clear. I mean, with all the technical things, but so basically, even though liquid chlorine has a 13 pH, when the chlorine is being broken down, so to speak, in the pool, the acid part of the element is released, and that actually balances the pH back down. Is that kind of what you're talking about?
That's absolutely correct, what you mm-hmm. just said. That was a very clear way to explain it.
Yeah, so it's interesting because that's, you know, as I've been in industry a long time also, things always change in the original school of thought on that. So, and like you said, the guys that pour acid right after the liquid chlorine caution them on that because I think that with the new research, it may be something that we don't have to do. And so therefore, chlorine's even more affordable because now you're not adding the cost of acid when you add the chlorine to the pool, which is a good thing.
Absolutely.
And so the next thing is, I get this from a lot of people that one of the elements you mentioned is the salt, and salt is a product, is a part of the TDS equation in the pool. And so if you're adding liquid chlorine, you're adding salt to the pool. How does that affect the overall chemistry over time? Because I know that a lot of people say that it's adding salt to the pool, therefore it's not a good sanitizer for your pool.
Yeah, and that's definitely a question that I get frequently as I'm out traveling around and talking to pool pros and teaching classes and so forth. And so, absolutely no denying that when you use liquid chlorine, you're putting salt in the pool. After all, that sodium chloride or salt is that's the main ingredient of liquid chlorine. It's basically made, from the process of electrolysis, which is taking sodium chloride in a solution and then running it through electrolysis to split the molecule. And you split the molecule, you create sodium hydroxide, and you create chlorine on the other side. So that's basically the simple way that liquid chlorine has been made since the 1700s. It's a pretty simple process. So the byproduct from using sodium hypochlorite, liquid chlorine, liquid bleach, whatever we want to call it, is going to be that in the manufacturing process, it starts out with salt. And then as the disinfection and sanitizing process takes place in the pool, the byproduct that's going to be left in the end is sodium chloride. So the fact that it is from salt. And we kind of hear this comment that you just pointed out about, well, it's not a good sanitizer because it's salt. Actually, that's not true. You're taking basically the raw material of chlorine, which is sodium chloride. And when sodium chloride is the molecule is split, as they do in producing this product, you've got a very, very strong and very effective sanitizer, which is basically chlorine. And so when you're putting liquid chlorine into the pool, you're not just pouring salt into the pool. You're pouring active chlorine, which has been proven throughout history as one of the best and most effective disinfectants and so forth. Now, the other thing, David, I realize is a lot of people think, well, now I've got all this salt left behind in my pool. So again, yeah, I realize that that can be considered an issue, but if you think about it, the byproduct of salt in comparison to some of the other, and by the way, let's just take trichlor, let's take Cal Hypo, which is chlorine or chlorine, combined with other materials like cyanuric acid or calcium. So those are the byproducts that are going to be left behind from those products. So let's just think about with liquid. You're basically leaving behind sodium chloride. What's sodium chloride going to do? It's going to have an effect on building up your total dissolved solids. That's it. And there are a lot of things that contribute to total dissolved solids, as we know. Other chemicals that you use, environmental contaminants, all sorts of things that stay behind. But sodium chloride would definitely be one of them. So I would, if you're using liquid chlorine as your primary sanitizer, and if you've got pools that have sand filters, DE filters, you're backwashing regularly, that kind of thing, then you're probably got a good dilution factor going where the sodium chloride is not going to ever really be much of an issue on your TDS because you're doing some dilution. Now, if you're on a cartridge filter or something where a system where you're not backwashing as much, and liquid is your primary sanitizer. Basically doing some a little bit of draining and diluting is going to balance out that TDS. And I would say you wouldn't need to even be doing it that often, maybe once a month or once every couple months or so, some drain and dilution you could do. Now, the thing is, though, David, let's think about it. If you're using CalHypo pretty regularly, you're putting like for about every pound of CalHypo you're using, you're increasing your calcium hardness by 6 parts per million. So you're putting a lot more calcium in there. That calcium is going to build up, and that calcium becomes a part of total dissolved solids as well. But the thing about when you have a lot of high calcium contributing to total dissolved solids, you have much more potential for creating damaging scale. So especially if you have a pool with a heater, that calcium is going to combine with carbon in the water and form calcium carbonate. And calcium loves to precipitate in really warm, the warmest spot of the pool. And if you've got a pool with a heater, the heat exchanger is the warmest spot. So calcium carbonate will stick to your heat exchanger as scale, and it will definitely damage your heat exchangers. It'll also form on your tile lines. If calcium levels get really high, you're going to have it. It's going to form sharp crystalline growths of calcium carbonate scale on the surface of the pool. So it can cause a lot of damage that way. Then we look at trichlor. If you're putting trichlor, again, trichlor, every 10 ppm of trichlor, you're putting 6 parts per million of cyanuric acid into the pool. And that's going to cause problems down the line as well, and definitely lead to a point where you're going to have to drain the pool. And by the way, that cyanuric acid will contribute to total dissolved solids as well. Mm-hmm. So I guess the thing to think about for the pool pro is to choose between the three byproducts that you want left behind in your pool, what's going to be the most detrimental to the water quality of the pool year after year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I would say that salt would be the one that I would definitely choose over the other two. After you explained that, you know, I think that the byproduct of that is not anything to be really concerned about. And to be honest with you, the TDS and the pools, it takes a while for it to get anywhere out of hand to where it's a problem. So I've had pools that people haven't drained in a long time, and the TDS level is a little bit high, but still the pools are not having any problems. So I don't think that's a big concern across the industry.
And again, just to go back to it, I mean, if your TDS is largely from maybe environmental and some other chemicals or the sodium chloride from your liquid, that's certainly not as much of an issue as if the bulk of your TDS is coming from calcium or cyanuric acid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. So let's just wrap it up by talking about the shelf life of liquid chlorine, the best way to store it, and we'll talk about the best way to pour it in the pool without getting your shirt full of holes.
Yeah, so, well, let's go to shelf life first. So everybody, I think, knows, anybody who's had any experience with liquid chlorine, you know that liquid chlorine is kind of like, getting fresh milk delivered or whatever. There's a sort of a time frame, it does degrade over time. And actually, so two of the big factors with liquid chlorine or liquid sodium hypochlorite degrading are certainly going to be time and heat. Just taking the HASA, the Santa Clara, because I think most people are familiar, and that's what most people get the you know, the yellow cases with the white bottles, that's a 12.5% sodium hypochlorite. Now, it will take 30 days. So that 12.5%, it will take about 30 days. It would take 30 days in 90 degree weather, 30 days before that 12.5% is going to go down to half of its strength. So it's, you know, it's pretty stable from that standpoint, if you think about that. And you still have a 6% after 30 days of 90 degree weather. Now, my thought is hopefully most pool pros are not going to keep a 30 day supply of liquid chlorine in 90 degree weather somewhere. I would think they would change it over pretty fast. But there's another thing that leads to degradation of liquid chlorine. And basically what that is it's impurities. in the manufacturing process. So again, as I pointed out, sodium hydroxide is one of the ingredients in liquid. And sodium hydroxide is it's an earth mineral, so it's mined from the earth. So that sodium hydroxide can contain some metals like iron or nickel, something like that in the mix. And in the processing, that can end up actually in the bottle, in the liquid. And that can cause very fast degradation of the product. So now something that HASA has done from the beginning is going back to 1964, they've had what's called a triple filter process. Actually, they triple filter the solution before it goes into the bottle. So they don't have those contaminants. And basically what that means, you have a pure, longer lasting product from that. Now, that being said, David, storage, as far as storage goes, if you have any amount of it, I realize that pool pros, guys and gals out there doing pools, they've all got pickup trucks. They've got their liquid in the back there, and that's especially in the summer, that's wide open to the heat of the sun and so forth. My suggestion is you don't keep liquid in your truck for long-term periods as a storage container. Like the liquid that's in your truck should be what you're going to use that day or the next day or so. And if you're storing any at all, my suggestion is store it in the garage. Keep it somewhere where it's darker and cooler. And certainly more frequent turns. Some pros are, well, I've got to go to my distributor more, but that might be something in the case of liquid where, you're going in the morning early, you pick it up fresh. Don't buy a month's supply at a time or something like that, especially in the heat of summer. Mm-hmm. As far as introducing it into the pool, it's easy, as I said, to add this. There's not a whole lot of thought to it. You can pour it in. My suggestion is in pouring it, first of all, I suggest you pour it and walk it around the deep end of the pool. And you want to keep it away from ladders and light rings, especially if they're metal. Liquid chlorine, liquid sodium hypochlorite is corrosive. So just be careful from that standpoint that it mixes well with the water. And I think where you see guys with the shirts and the jeans that are riddled with bleach holes, mm-hmm. It's usually because they're pouring that from a high. They're standing and they're pouring the bottle from a high higher up. And when you do that, you're going to get a lot more splashback onto the deck and onto your clothes. So my suggestion is you get that bottle as close to the surface of the water as you can. So you do a little bit of bending or squatting, maybe get your exercise and your squats in as you're walking around pouring it. Keep the bottle as low to the surface of the water as you can, and that'll prevent a lot of the splashback that you get from it.
Got it. That makes perfect sense, and that's the method I use to do it. Sometimes I'll get careless, and I'll splash a little bit, but try to be as careful as possible out there.
Yeah, I ruined quite a few pairs of Levi's that way. So. Yeah.
So where can listeners go to learn more about the HASA product line? And I know I gave your email at the beginning. I'll go ahead and give it at the end again when I do the outro here.
Sure.
But go ahead and give us your website so they can get more information.
Yeah, website is pretty simple. It's www.hasapool, that's all one word, hasapool.com. And if they go there, we've got some updates on COVID-19, lots of information on sodium hypochlorite in pools and actually on surfaces and so forth for disinfection. And there's tons of videos, educational videos and pieces and article pieces that they can look at. And we also have a Facebook page. So we're on Facebook, we're on LinkedIn. And we also have a YouTube page as well.
Okay, great. I really appreciate your time on this. It was really informational, and I learned a few things too about liquid chlorine, listening to you talk about it in detail here. And we don't get to hear this very often, but I think it's just great information for the listener here. The homeowner and the pool pro both can benefit from learning more about the use of liquid chlorine and all the aspects that you talked about here.
That's great. Thank you so much, David.
Yeah, thank you. And again, to reach Terry Arco with any questions you may have, you can email him directly at Terry Arco, that's TerryArko, not the CO like in the gas station, at HasaPool.com. I'll repeat that to you one more time. That's Terry Arco at HasaPool.com. And of course, you can go to their website, which is www.hasapool.com. And if you're looking for more pool care resources for your pool, definitely check out my website, swimmingpoollearning.com. And if you're in the industry and you're looking for more help with your business, you can also check out my coaching program at poolguycoaching.com. Thanks for listening to this podcast. Have a great rest of your week, and God bless. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. The Pool Guy Podcast Show. Real quick, if you're not using pool service software, try Skimmer free for 30 days at getskimmer.com/poolguy. Again, that's getskimmer.com/poolguy. Skimmer, everything you need to run your pool service business all in one app.